You're listening to SBS News.
These sounds are the crowds at the 2020 Sydney Mardi Gras Parade, cheering on some of the people who took part in the first ever Mardi Gras March in 1978. History professor Michelle Arrow says these original marches aim to encourage political action against the discrimination and violence that gay and lesbian members of the community experienced on a routine basis.
But it also was a kind of a new alliance between kind of bar-going gays and lesbians and politically active gays and lesbians. And so it was a really crucial moment in forging a new political identity. And then, of course, it forms the basis of the modern Mardi Gras sort of celebrations every year, which are part protest and part celebration and creation of a community.
From its humble beginnings, Mardi Gras is now the biggest pride event in the Oceania region, attracting hundreds of thousands to its parties and generating around $40 million for the economy every year. But advocates say the experiences that motivated the original marches are still happening today. Annie Wiley is a senior manager at Reach Out, a mental health support service for young people in the LGBTIQ plus community. She says discrimination has been a regular occurrence for her.
As a queer person, I have experienced being called names, being in the street and being made to feel very uncomfortable, and other forms of discrimination in various settings. And I would also say that most of my friends have too.
Jo Ball is the CEO of Switchboard, a Victorian organisation also providing support services. They say a lot of progress has been made in changing discriminatory Australian laws, but many were updated only very recently as a result of campaigning for equality.
It's quite in many people's lifetime, people lived through criminalisation of homosexuality, which meant that people could be sacked for being gay and they could be incarcerated for being gay. And then we've only very recently seen the taking out of the World Health Organization has stated that being transgender is not a mental disorder, and that was only in the last couple of years.
Jo Ball says gender and sexually diverse people experience high rates of mental health issues as a result of these social and legal forms of discrimination.
A lot of LGBTIQA plus people have very happy happy and included lives, and they feel a part of their families and communities, but too many people don't. And I think for a lot of people, people do feel pride in who they are, but there is still a lot of societal stigma and shame on our identities that we have to combat on our way to being able to feel included and ultimately proud of who we are.
Kai, a non-binary young person, is now a happy 22-year-old with a loving family. But they face prejudice in high school, where they say casual homophobia and transphobia was rife. And later, upon coming out as non-binary, they faced some pushback from those family and friends who did not accept there could be more than one gender.
There was a bit of, oh, you can only be male or female, there's no in-between, like, stuff like that, pretty much. Basically shutting down the whole notion of genders in between and apart from male and female.
Jen Whitlam from the New South Wales health promotion organisation ACON says the lack of validation and acceptance of identity can impact heavily on young people coming to terms with who they are. She says public political discourse also has a real effect on how young diverse people see themselves.
You know, there's recent examples like the City Point Christian College issue and the religious discrimination bill debate. And these public debates have a real profound impact on our community and in particular our young people who hear this othering and, you know, don't know where they fit in the world and might be thinking, where do I belong? Who am I? Where can I be safe? And these are all things that lead to, poorer mental health outcomes.
Annie Wiley says members of the wider community have an important role to play in the public discourse and in supporting those who face discrimination in their daily lives. She says being a good ally is about more than wearing a rainbow flag and going to Mardi Gras parties. Ms. Wiley wants to see people calling out discrimination in their everyday lives, supporting LGBTQI plus owned businesses, and being willing to own up to mistakes.
Real thing you got to do is commit to continuing to educate yourself to do better. And if you can do that, making a mistake is fine. We all do. You know, we can't expect everybody to know everything, but that can be a really powerful way to show that you're a true ally to the community.
For Kai, one of the most important things anyone can do to be supportive is just to listen to others.
Don't talk over them. Don't speak for them unless you're asked to. And most importantly, just remember that this is their journey, their story. You're supporting them to be the best version of themselves.
Members of the queer community can connect through the national service QLife by phoning 1800 184 527, or if members of the LGBTQI plus community need support, contact Lifeline on 13 11 14. Deborah Grawk, SBS News.